Well, let's see if we're going to do better this time. And if I've made an error, I'm certainly going to be very apologetic about it, about having to do this all over again. One of its distinguished retired staff members, Charles Elgin Knott. Elgin, what do you recall of the physical plant and the conditions that existed here when you came here away back in 1921?
In 1921, I came in August of 21. The plant was very small. The three main buildings on the campus were what is now the only one of them left of the main buildings. The building next to the old administration building, which was called the Agricultural Education, well, originally it was the Home Economics Building, then became the Agricultural Education Building, and it is next to where the old administration building was. Of course, now we have a new administration building up on the hill. The other, there were three buildings right there in that group. The two were torn down when the administration building was built. Then the other main building that is still on the campus at that time is the old power plant building, which now I believe is used for just general storage purposes. Then there was dual dormitory, which is still in use, and the old dining hall, which now is, I believe, used by the student organization. That is about the extent of the buildings on the main part of the campus, except for a group of shop buildings. There was a carpenter shop, machine shop, forge shop, and that is about all of the main shop buildings here, except the agricultural mechanics group.
Now, what was the level of instruction, and what was the scope of the institution at that time as far as the state education program is concerned?
The level of the instruction was high school grade. The students, although it was called a technical school, the students received a high school diploma when they graduated, and the courses specialized in engineering mechanics, which was the department I was with, agriculture, and home economics. Those were the three main departments on the campus at that time. Of course, all of high school level.
What did you teach when you first came here?
When I first came, I was teaching some electrical work, some surveying, and drafting, and, well, just various courses needed in the engineering mechanics department. Those were the three main courses I was teaching at that time.
Now, it was a school operated under sort of the regime of a military school? Or did you have regular drill, and did the students wear uniforms?
Yes, all of the students, all of the men students, were in the military organization, all wore uniforms. All the time they were on the campus. They had drill 1 hour a day. The, it was not really a military school, however. The military was just a side issue with the organization, although all of the men did have to take military drill at the time.
And was there a local board of trustees of the institution at that time?
There was, just before I came, a local board, of which Mr. Sinsheimer, I believe, was the chairman of the board. Sinsheimer, an old name around this community. But on July the 1st of that year, the board was discontinued, and the control was taken over in Sacramento.
That's by the State Department of Education.
Yes.
And who was the president when you first came here?
Mr. Ricciardi. He came in July the 1st of that year, and I came in August that year.
And
Nicholas Ricciardi.
Nicholas Ricciardi. And he later went with the State Department of Education. He became associated with the State Department
yes.
of Education. And so this, did the pattern continue for the first several years about the same, and the enrollment and so on about the same as when you came here?
The pattern continued for a few years about the same, but Mr. Ricciardi left. As I remember, I came in 21, I think he left in the about the Christmas of or the first of 23, and Miss Chase took over as who was vice president at the time, took over in charge of the college then for the spring semester. I believe that is either 22 or 23. I don't remember exactly now which date it was.
And Dr. Ricciardi was followed by whom?
Dr. Crandall.
He came in at that time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ben Crandall came from over in the valley somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And did he make any particular changes in the curriculum, or was he able to expand the program in any way particularly?
He began expanding the program after he had been here about 2 years. My recollection is that they added a added year of technical school work beyond the high school level. And at first, all students that came to us were graduates from the grammar school. Then, along about 1923, they dropped off the first year of high school. The student had to have 1 year of high school before he came here. And then they added another year at the top. School here, as I remembered, continued as a four-year school, four-year departments, but they had to be at 1 year of high school before they came here, and then they were carried on 1 year beyond normal high school graduation.
In those years, did the school begin to advertise by going to the state fair and taking some of the mechanics projects as well as some of the agricultural projects there?
Yes, that started out short. I don't know whether it happened before I came or not, but the first year after I was here, we did exhibit at the state fair, and there were jobs turned out by the shop departments shown at the fair. There was woodwork, machine shop practice jobs, and some forge shop work that I took up to the fair to exhibit the work that was going on here.
Prior to that, there had been a few structures on the campus and which was used as a county fair, is that right?
Yes, there was held here on the on the campus, you might say, a county fair each year, primarily agricultural, however. But gradually, as the time went on, the engineering mechanics department got into the picture and also had a definite interest in these county fair exhibits on the campus here.
Now, in the late 20s, the school was able to get some more buildings and provide greater facilities, isn't that right?
As the enrollment built up, yes, there was more buildings added, but not any large number of buildings until, pretty well along, excuse me, in the 30s.
Well, they did add some dormitories, so.
Yes.
And the gymnasium was built prior to that time, too. Crandall Gymnasium.
It
was 1928.
It was built, I believe, about that, 1928, yes.
Mm-hmm. Then that brought us up pretty much to the beginning of the Depression, and perhaps another thing that had happened, and that was the considerable growth in the vocational offerings by the high schools of the state. Now, did these things combine to have an effect on the enrollment at Cal Poly?
Gradually, yes. But the enrollment in Cal Poly did not begin to build up in any large numbers, as I remember it now, until along about 1934.
Well, isn't it true, Elgin, that prior to that, because of the Depression and because of the growth of vocational programs in other high schools, there had been a decrease in enrollment, and also the legislature was certainly looking at that time for means of economizing and took quite a look at California Polytechnic School at that time.
Yes, that is quite true. And in 1933, I believe it was, they sent Mr. McPhee down here to take charge of the school and run it Of course, Mr. McPhee was a agricultural man. He had been an agricultural man all of his life, and we were wondering in the engineering mechanics department what was going to happen to us. But as I interviewed Mr. McPhee in the hotel just before he came down here to take over, I was very much interested in his attitude toward our engineering mechanics department. He said, "Not you have the enrollment there that when at this particular time we need enrollment. So suppose you go ahead with your engineering mechanics work, and I don't know anything about that engineering subjects, so it's going to be up to you to make all the decisions, and it'll be darn sure that you make the right ones." And I remembered that all the years later on in working with Mr. McPhee. He certainly was very conscientious about that. He insisted that what I did had to be followed through, and that it must be correct. And he pretty well left the running of the department, of the mechanics department, to me.
Well, Elgin, looking at the present time, it's very obvious that the decisions that you made were correct, because over the years, a great many part of which were under your guidance, California State Polytechnic College has developed into one of the great and highly respected engineering colleges of the United States. But let's go back again to the theme of our program, as I remember, and pick up here in the in the late 30s, you begin to expand not only the offerings in the existing program, but to add some other programs in the engineering field as you went along?
Yes, we began expanding in our own departments. Of course, by that time, this was in 1933 now, all students coming in had to be high school graduates. They had discontinued the home economics department so that there were no girls in the school anymore, and leaving the two main departments, agriculture and industry, were the two departments. But there was all the time, each department head was trying to expand his department to upgrade all the work being given. We had fairly close contact with industry. We were trying to make sure that our students got placed on jobs when they graduated. We watched, contacted industry to find out what type of training the men needed to get onto the job, and we were very successful in the placement of our students in the engineering mechanics department from that time on.
Well, isn't it true that a big percentage of the men who you selected to come here and teach in your field had some or a great deal of practical experience in the industrial field?
Well, that was one of the main requirements for hiring an instructor. He must have had some practical experience in the job he's teaching.
And what was one of the major fields that you added, perhaps in the late 30s?
In the late 30s,
would it have been in the air conditioning
and refrigeration department was the first main department that we added. This Mr. McPhee was able to make arrangements in Sacramento that we got a new building for it, and the building was built for that particular purpose and is still used now, still for the air conditioning refrigeration department. The design of the building worked out very satisfactory for the requirements, as the work was upgraded to college-level work.
Then enrollment gradually increased, and we began to get more buildings. And as I recall it, about the time the war broke out, the institution had something around 1,000 or over 1,000 students in the various branches. And it was at that time on a three-year technical college level. Is that about correct?
Yes, except that I think by that time we had gotten to the four-year level, because in 1940 the college was granted permission to grant degrees. That would mean a four-year department. But very shortly after that, the war came along, and our enrollment of regular students dropped down to about 60 students along about 1942 or 43. We only had 60 regular students here. But Mr. McPhee had gotten in an arrangement with the Navy to have a pre-flight training program for Navy students who were going to become pilots in the Navy. And by that means, we were able to keep practically all of our teaching staff, although our regular students had dropped down to only 60. We still kept all of our teaching staff busy with this Navy program. They were teaching English, mathematics, physics, and navigation to these students, and they were we kept all of our regular staff busy.
It's true that during that period, Elgin, that the Navy students took up all the available classrooms, or many of them, in the daytime, so that we had to offer night classes to the civilian students. Is that the situation?
Yes, that is about the way it worked. There were some of the students got some of their classes in the daytime, but many of the classes had to be conducted at night for these our regular students.
Well, then it was after war, the war closed then, that the engineering program in the college began to expand very rapidly, and enrollment increased tremendously, and new offerings were given in that field. What were some of the reasons for this?
Well, some of the reasons were the type of program that we're offering appealed to the more advanced students, particularly the military students who were going back into school. They liked the practical approach that we were giving in our engineering field. Of course, now we were calling it engineering, and we had tried to separate out some of the departments. For instance, air conditioning and refrigeration in many colleges was part of mechanical engineering. We had it as a separate department. We separated electronic engineering from electrical engineering. We're running the two departments here from the after the close of the war, and both departments were attracting many students. Because the type of work that a student does in electronic engineering just doesn't fit to the average type of work that the student does in electrical engineering. Their employment possibilities are so different. Then in architecture, we were running a four-year course in architectural engineering. We were not permitted to give a course in architecture because that is a five-year course, and we were only permitted to run the four-year program. I believe now in the college we have an accredited five-year course in architecture as well as the architectural engineering, but that came later. The course in aircraft production was booming at that time in aeronautical engineering, as we call it, and of course in the industries they were employing all the men that we could turn out from these engineering courses.
That brings up another point, which I think we've discussed before, and that was the attitude of some of the big companies towards employing graduates in those early days. Do you recall one of the particular instances?
Well, in the early days, we were not ECPD accredited. That's Engineering Council for Professional Development, which credits engineering colleges, and many of the big companies were skeptical about taking on our students in their student training programs, particularly General Electric. Well, it just so happened that one of our former students was a nephew of a man high up in General Electric Company, and he got his nephew into the program. He proved so successful that the following year, and I think that following year was 1948, the General Electric Company sent a man here to interview graduating students. And he came with permission to accept one student. Well, he found three others that he liked very much. He hired one student and wanted to hire these other three students. He wired back to Schenectady for permission to take the other three students. But the Schenectady office told him no. So he went to the he called up the Southern California Edison Company first and asked them if they would take those three students, and he could hire them from Southern California Edison Company later. So Edison Company said they would. So he told these three students to go to work for Southern California Edison Company, and he would see them later. And in about 2 months, he had them back in Schenectady on the job back there. And that was our main introduction into the being accepted by industry as an accredited college.
And since then, I'm sure that General Electric Company has employed a great many Cal Poly graduates.
They have, and the other companies, Westinghouse and other companies, have followed the same procedure now, and they, for a number of years now, they have been trying to get as many Poly students as they could. We have had no trouble with the placement problem.
Now, as I recall, too, after the war, there were a couple of other factors that had quite an influence on Cal Poly enrollment. One of them, of course, was the GI Bill of Rights, which gave educational funds to veterans. And another one, and you can check me on this, is that Cal Poly men in the service had had such a wonderful experience at this college and had gotten so much excellent training that all over the world there were some of their buddies from various military, naval, and Air Corps units that had heard about this college. So that when they got out of the service, perhaps they might be living in New England or Florida or any place, they were already pretty much recruited for Cal Poly. Is that about the truth?
Yes, that is quite true. And the enrollment built up very rapidly then because, for two reasons, I think. The contact with the school by our other students and the fact that we had a practical training program here that appealed to the older men who were coming out of the services.
And they were looking for something that would be give them a living employment just as soon as possible.
Yes, and our placement record was very good here relative to getting them on technical jobs within the industry for which they were trained.
And I believe that the college did a superb job of getting information into the separation centers where people getting out of the service could see the opportunities in educational institutions. Is that true?
Yeah, there was information spread out all over the United States, wherever the separation centers were relative to the college.
Now, this brings us up then to early 50s, and I think that at that time and the next few years, there were several new offerings here at the college. Do you remember some of them?
Well, industrial engineering came in for one of them. Metallurgy and welding and metallurgical engineering is another one that came in. And each one of the departments that we had here were planning on expanding or doing what they could to improve their programs and expand in their various departments.
Is it true that over the years the building program has always had to lag a little bit behind the students because the college was so popular, or what has been the situation?
Well, it seems that there was always more students than we had buildings for, but the building program for the engineering division has worked out very satisfactorily as the time went on. We got the main buildings that we'd planned, we'd hoped for, and I think it's been very satisfactory and very fair to the work in the engineering division the way the buildings have come. The I might mention some of the programs that took place earlier in the were not directly connected with the college. Just before the war, about 1938-39, there was a program started, called the War Production Training Program, in which they brought in men from the outside, trained them in skills that would help them in employment in war industries. We had a welding program, a machine shop program, a sheet metal program, or the aircraft sheet metal, that was all planned for training men for jobs that were desperately needed in preparing for the war in 1939, 40, and 41. These programs had to be conducted at night. We were running our these shops were being run 24 hours a day, nighttime with the war production training men, and the daytime our regular students. And we were very busy during those years. Then at the close of the war, they had a group of ne'er-do-wells on their hands, and they were trying to train a group of these men for jobs in industry, and we were running a welding program and a sheet metal program and machine shop work for them. These classes, again, were at night, along about 1947 and 48, being conducted at night, so that our regular students were getting the use of the shops in the daytime.
The growth of population in California and the growth of the industry here certainly called for a tremendous amount of building. Did this have an effect on the educational program at Cal Poly?
Oh, well, I think very definitely. We had started in about 1946 or 47 an architectural engineering program, which grew very rapidly. The students liked the way we were teaching the work. We started them off in their major work in their first year, right on the drawing board, and kept them there for the 4 years that we're here. The program developed quite rapidly, and many students came to take the work here. Although it was not, it was called architectural engineering because it was only a four-year course. To be a course, approved course in architecture must require a five-year program. So we were just running as a architectural engineering program until later on.
Then during that period, the enrollment in all of the engineering fields grew very rapidly, and I presume that the number of instructors increased rapidly. Were you able to continue to get men out of industry in most fields?
By and large, I think we were very fortunate in the selection of our men. We have been able most of the time to get good men to leave industry and come to teach because they wanted to teach. We couldn't pay enough or more than industry was paying them, but they just wanted to teach. So we were able to get quite a large number of good men to come in at that time who had had actual commercial experience in their field.
Did the late 30s and later on not only bring in a change in the level of courses, but also in the level of students, Elgin?
Well, the college was granted permission for a four-year course granting degrees in 1940. But, of course, during the war, we had very few students here. So with that in mind, our courses were upgraded and planned for a four-year engineering course at the close of the war. That's where the main growth took place after the war was closed.
But later on in the 50s and up to the present time, you would say that the level of student has increased tremendously as the enrollment requirements have been increased by the state.
Well, as our enrollment here increased and we had plenty of students, we were more selective in the students that we allowed to come here until we were getting a very good class of students. Earlier, there was a time when we would take almost any student who applied because we needed students. Later on, we did not need the students, and we were getting higher grade students right along.
Elgin, I know that over a great many years, you've always been known as Dean Knott, and that the total administrative responsibility of the engineering department was in your hands. What was the situation in that connection?
Well, as I mentioned before, Mr. McPhee turned over the engineering department to me. He told me to make sure that I did not make any errors. So he left the administration of the department largely to me, as long as I kept within my budget. So we went ahead from that, and for many years there, as acting dean, I had practically complete control of the department.
Now, as I recall it, you retired in 1958 after more than 40 years of educational service to California, and it seems to me that you and your wife, Pearl, embarked on a new activity for you. What was that?
No, you're slightly mistaken there. It was only 38 years I was here before I retired. But when we retired, both my wife and I just took it easy for a while. We were both quite tired out here, and we had had quite a strenuous time shortly before we retired. So we just rested for a while. But later on, we had an opportunity to take a trip to Europe with a group of people that we knew something about. And so we took this 6 weeks tour of Europe with the understanding that we did not have to come back with the group. We could stay over there as long as we wanted to. And we certainly enjoyed it. We got word from our daughter that they would be over there the following year. This was in April when we were in London. We got word from our daughter. So we decided just to stay over and be over with them for a year while they were in there in Holland.
And that gave you an opportunity to travel over a great portion of Europe and to see a lot of things that you never had seen.
Yes, we pretty well saw the main parts of Europe during that 2 years that we were over there.
Well, that was certainly a wonderful experience for you. I know that since you've come back from your trip to Europe, you've done other traveling and down to Mexico and various places, so that when you retired, it certainly didn't mean that you sat down in the easy chair with your slippers on.
Oh, but I certainly did enjoy doing that, too, just as you say.
Well, Elgin, this has been a pleasure to talk to you. I've known you ever since 1931 when we came here and worked with you. And this is closing out this episode on the program series, As I Remember. And this will go in the archives and will be available to anyone who wants to listen to it. This program interview has been conducted by George P. Cooper.